Welcome to Pastor Goss Sunday School Class, a weekly gathering in the main fellowship hall of Faith Assembly, North Fort Myers, Florida, featuring the insightful and relevant teaching of Senior Pastor Phil Goss. Thank you for joining us. Now, here's Pastor Goss.
For those of you that weren't here last week, I want to bring you up to date, but for those of you that were, I want to backtrack a little bit, because I heard a few things, and I want to make sure you understand something. What we're talking about here, and we'll talk about for the next few weeks, is you and I, as Christians, live in this world, correct? And the Bible's pretty clear that we're in this world, but we're not of it, right? So in other words, we have to live here, but that's not where we're living. Jesus came and said, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And what he meant by that was his kingdom doesn't rule on earth, it rules in lives. So that what we know is that his kingdom lives with us and we live of his kingdom, not of this one. Everybody good? Now, if you don't grab this, would you please ask me, okay? You having trouble hearing me? Turn me up a little bit. Please ask me, because I want you to understand this. It's critical. So that if we understand that, you know what, I've got to live in this world, but this world can't have an influence on me, right? How am I going to do that? How am I going to fight that? And Paul, writing in the New Testament, several times, Ephesians 5:15, I read this last week, but let me just kind of hit it again. Be careful how you live, not as fools, but as those who are wise. Make the most of every opportunity for these evil days. Don't act thoughtlessly. Try to understand what the Lord wants you to do. So he says, look, you're living in this difficult time. You're living in this world. This world is not going to get any better. The culture is not going to get any sweeter. You and I are going to have to deal with it. We're going to have to do more than just complain about it. Okay? Going to have to do more than just complain about it. We're going to have to understand that's the way it is. All right? You with me?
Yes.
All right. Paul also in Ephesians says that we're not fighting flesh and blood. So what we understand then is what's going on in this culture is not about the people. It's about a spirit. Correct? That there is the Holy Spirit who lives in us as Christians, but there also is another spirit. Paul mentions it at times as the spirit of this world that is at work in these days. Right? So we understand there's this conflict. It's a spiritual battle. The battle is this. Satan is trying to do everything he can do to keep you and I from letting our light shine for God. I believe if Satan can't get you to deny God, then what he will do is get you to be ineffective for God. Does that make sense? So that the battle isn't just, well, you know, in this room, I'm going to be a Christian. Okay, what kind of influence are you going to have? Correct? So that what we understand is there is this constant battle that goes on. It is a spiritual battle that is manifested in spiritual ways, but is brought about through things that we see. All right? So that we see something, we look at it, we judge it, we think, well, big deal. But do we understand the spirit behind it? With me? So okay. Okay, so last week I started mentioning some things that are going on in our culture today that have a spirit behind them that is after us. Now, please understand, I am not paranoid, okay? But I am smart enough to know that I'm in a battle, all right? So my understanding is this. Boy, this, and I want to open up this can of worms. Okay? So challenge me if you need to. My life has to be lived in a manner not where I try to fix everything broken in our culture, but where I live a life that shines above it. Okay? This culture, this world, and its evil desires, according to the Bible, are passing away. Right? Jesus didn't come to redeem, to make his kingdom a part of this world. He came to put his kingdom in us. So that there is this environment that we lived in. And I used the illustration last week about being out in Seattle. And I was on one of these tours, okay, in a little bus, and about 15, 20 people involved in it. And the driver was pontificating on how great Seattle was and how much they loved the environment and how much, you know, all these things were going on and on and on. And she asked, well, what do you hear about Seattle? And I said, well, my take is that there's just a bunch of tree huggers. Okay? Of which she did not deny. But she did say, you mean you're not a tree hugger? No. Yeah, right. Not going to happen. Now, some people would hear this, and some of the comments I got from last week is, well, that means you're just not environmentally friendly. Now, I said last week, and I want to make sure I said, I did not say that. I said, I recycle. I think there's some responsible things to do in how we treat things. But would you not agree that we have gone overboard in what's there? And, you know, that we now, you got this property here, we can't cut a tree without getting permission. I mean, it's just a sad thing. And so there's this idea that we got to save the environment. Well, the environment doesn't need to be saved. There is no good science that says this is happening. The world, since its creation, has gone through cycles. It will continue to go through cycles. Sometimes hotter, sometimes colder. It's just the way it works. And the world is passing away, by the way. This world is going to be destroyed by fire. And so there is an environmental mentality, and the Bible talks about a group of people, even in Paul's day, where he says they worship the creation rather than the creator. Oh, well, I think, and you heard from Christian, I think we should be environmentally friendly. Well, hold it. What's the spirit behind this? I'll tell you what the spirit is. If you were to go to the northwest, right, that part of the country, in that part of the country, which would you agree with me is probably the seat of a lot of the environmental issues? If you watch things, you know that. Do you also understand that in that part of the country, there are fewer churches per capita than any place else in the United States? Some of you would volunteer to go there and do it, right? But please understand what I'm saying. You know, the people there, what? Look what we got. We can go out, and everywhere you go, I mean, people are on bicycles everywhere. Everybody owns dogs. I mean, it's incredible. Now, I didn't see many cats, thank goodness. But
a lot of Chinese.
Yeah. But please don't miss what I'm saying. There is a spirit behind that that causes people to make that their religion. Now, when you make something a religion or an idol, that does not mean necessarily that you consciously think you're doing it. It does not mean you set up a figure of a tree in your house and bow down to it. But it does mean you give it attention and you begin to allow it to be a big part of your life and you begin to serve that rather than serving God as you should. And therefore, it becomes more important. Well, you know what? What time is church? It needs to get out early because I want to get on my bike and head to the mountains. Now, what if you just made the priority in your life? Okay? See how subtle it is? Now, is there anything wrong with that? With the mountains going to the bottom? Not at all, is there? Nothing wrong with enjoying what God has made. But do you see the subtlety of what Satan does to bring conflict into people's lives, to make choices that do not help us become better Christians? Yes. Right. Right. Have you, yesterday, sometime this week, I was flipping through stations as I am gifted to do. I've tried to let my wife know this is a gift that God has given to me. And she'll walk in, how many programs are you watching now? And, you know. And there is this station called, and I'm probably going to get it wrong because I didn't, Dog Planet? Animal Planet? Oh, you all know it, don't you? Okay, well then maybe you can help me. This program was about evidently a pet psychologist who comes in and helps people who are having problems with their dogs. Right? I saw two little incidents. Caught the end of one and the beginning of another. The end of one was this guy was, they were a couple. I don't think they were married, but they were a couple in bed. And the problem was the dog was sleeping between them and wouldn't leave. The other one was, literally, this family cooked a gourmet meal for two dogs. Gourmet meal. It wasn't vegetarian. They had all the vegetables and all the meat, pasta, took that, mixed that all together, and it took an hour or more to cook for these two dogs and fed it to them, and then they ate something like a TV dinner. And that was their procedure through their life. They were feeding the dogs twice as better as them. Now you see, there's something wrong with that. But yet, you shouldn't talk against animals. People, please hear me. Animals and people are not equal. All right? Only mankind, human beings, did God breathe into them His breath, His spirit. Okay? Animals are animals. But yet, what do? We give animals human character traits. Okay? Now, is there anything wrong with being kind to animals? Well, if they're cats, there is, but other than that. Just kidding. Somebody will take that one and go. No, there's not. But there is a way that it becomes beyond right, doesn't it? And in our society today, it's beyond right. Okay? I mean, when we got TV programs that are going through all of this, and you all know what it is, that bothers me as much as anything else. So that when we deal with that, do you see that there is a spirit behind it that diminishes our light to be shined if we're not careful? Subtle. Innocent. That's why Paul wrote and he said, look, you got to be careful how you live. Don't live like fools. Be wise. You've got to see this stuff for what it is. You can't just buy into it. But understand that there is a spirit that goes on in our culture today that promotes this, that has become something that people give more attention to than God. And yet I'll guarantee you almost every one of them will say God's a part of their life. Right? Right. And what we do? We bring God into it. See, if I want to believe that pets got human characteristics, I'll find a verse to confirm that. And I'll bring God into it, won't I? Wow, that's right. That's what God wants us to do. Don't you believe God wants us to take care of the environment? Well, I don't know. Not like you're talking. Then we talked about equality. I don't want to go down that trail, okay? Equality. You see, now what we have done is made equality an issue in that every one of us are equal. If you saw Nat, in fact, I was in a meeting Thursday where Nick Thompson was speaking and he was getting ready to go talk to a group of people who are trying to bring back the Equal Rights Amendment. That's big in our culture. But you know what? God doesn't operate that way. Not everything is equal. Now, God loves everybody equally. But God... Have you noticed in the Bible that sometimes God chooses to use one person in a different way than he chooses to use another person? Have you noticed that he has different requirements for different people? We're not all expected to do the same or be the same. Do you understand that God has gifted us all differently? There are 5 talent people, 10 talent people, 1 talent people, and we are not equal. And that God expects us to use what he's given to us, not compare ourselves with other people. And yet we live in a society where everybody has to be equal. And I mentioned here, you know, went down there and that Sunday they were having the gay rights parade. We want everybody to be equal. We said, you know, don't judge me. Don't put me into another place. We all deserve the same. I should be able, what's the buzzword for that? Tolerant. I should tolerate what you do. You tolerate what I do. We all have a right to do whatever we want to do. Yes? Well, because they feel like then we as Christians begin to be the bad guys. And if you will notice in this equality issue, we're made out to be the judging people. We're made out to be the unloving people. Unfortunately, we have some very misguided people who feel like it is right to go into an abortion place or into a church and kill an abortion doctor, which is not right. Don't care what you believe. And so we have come across sometimes as being harsh and judgmental. We are to be loving. We are to be kind. But not everybody's the same. It's one of the things I had to teach my kids when I was raising them. I love you all the same, but I will not treat you the same because you're all different. Every one of my kids was different. And I had to train them according to what they were. All right? Every one of your kids are different. Every one of us is different. And God treats us according to our differences. Yes? Right. Right. So we have this ability to touch other people, but do you understand the spirit behind this? Now, do we want to treat people fairly? And yes, we do. But we got to understand. And you see, it comes into the church. we think, well, hold it. We should have this. We could have this. We bring our equality issues into the church. And this equality thing, let me go down. We did the entitlement thing. The entitlement thing boils off of the customers are always right. Got news for you. They're not. I'm entitled to this. I have a right for this. Thus, we'll sue anybody that doesn't let us have what we think we're entitled to. And yet, as Christians, we're told not to put ourselves in an authority place, but to humble ourselves and let God exalt us. Well, as Christians, we're told we're not entitled. We're called to serve, not to be served. We're called to live a different life with a different mentality than everybody else. And if you're not careful, as Christians, we can pick up the Sue Happy mentality as well, can't we? Well, I think this is right. I think this is the way it ought to be. Be careful. Do you see the spirit behind that? That you and I need to understand, you know what? I've got to guard against that. I can't be that type of person. You know, we can use illustration after illustration after illustration. Well, you deserve me this. I go into here, you got to give me this. I earn this. Here's your coupon. You need to do this. You need to act right like that. And we've become no different than the rest of the world. And in people's eyes, here's the problem. There's no distinction between Christians and non-Christians. Why? Because of the spirit thing. That if we're not careful, we begin to look like everybody else, and we are called to be different. Now, that doesn't mean you have to go out and try to be weird. You can be weird on your own. You don't have to try to. Okay? But it does mean that because of my belief system and because of the person I want to be in Christ, I will stand out. And I will be different. Well, Kasem, you mean you're not a tree hugger? I'll be different. I don't have to be obnoxious with that. I can just rebut, no, ma'am, I'm not. Oh. And I know she thought I was the most disgusting person on the face of the earth at that moment. That's okay. You see, we're entitled. And then our entertainment. Now, there's nothing wrong with being entertained. There's nothing wrong with some forms of entertainment. But you see, our culture is obsessed with entertainment. God forbid we have to have some quiet moments. You know, and there's nothing wrong with, you see what I'm saying, how difficult this is? But there is a spirit in the entertainment world, isn't there? That we have to understand is there and does influence. And if you think for a moment that you're not influenced by that, you just are out of touch. Okay? So I have to realize that's there. Oh, well, let's go picket and fight and get it stopped. Well, how about we Christians just start living like we should? And I think that would have as big of an impact and probably a greater impact than the other. But everybody wants to sign petitions and everybody wants to do this, this, and this. And Satan, I think, is sometimes just, oh, good, I've got him off track again. See, so these things have spiritual issues around them that we live in this world. We're not of it. And so we have to look at these things and understand that if I write this down, I can make spiritual reasons for these things. But I have to understand, hold it, where is the balance that I have to keep here in order to use wisdom in living in this evil world? Because it's not going to go away. You throw onto that, we have a political system that now encourages and stands for things that aren't godly. That's in control. We have a political system that stands for things that aren't godly. Now, please hear me, and please hear me very carefully. If you're wanting to put the blame for this on one person, you don't understand our government. Okay? This is not one person's fault. Okay? We have a court system. We have an executive system that is more interested in being reelected than doing what's right. And so now we do things that are for our benefit rather than for what's right. Now, should we vote as Americans? You bet. Do we have the privilege to have a say in our government? Sure we do. Should some Christians run for political office? Yes. But the church is not a political organization. It is a spiritual organization. And you see, it's very easy for the church to get off track, isn't it? And be thinking they're doing something right, and Satan could be going, good, I got them off over there. They're trying to change the political system. As long as they're trying to change that, at least they're not trying to change people's lives. And so we have this spirit that is around us, isn't it? That is working against us, doesn't it? That is subtle. That in and of itself, you look at those things, what's the big deal? Not always something wrong, but yet taken as a group, taken as a, if we're not careful, we buy into that and allow that to have an influence on us that it should not have, and we begin to think like the world thinks sometimes in regards to some of these things, which we must not do. Now we really get it because we're starting to talk money. We don't want to talk money. But you see, in our world today, whether we want to admit it or not, money is a god. The love of money is the root of all evil. Why do we have a drug problem? Money. Why do we have an alcohol problem? Money. Everything can make a profit, then make money. Why do we have a problem here? Money. Why do we have a problem here? Money. Makes a lot of money. Go down the list. Money. You know, everything now you notice in your grocery stores, we're all now green. Why? It sells. Oh, good, I'm helping the environment. I better buy that. You know, buy the bags now. Don't use the plastic. Yeah, and all that's going to cost us more. You understand that in order to do a lot of these things, you're going to pay for it. You know, well, we want to, you know, we got. Will you pay more? You take a poll of most Americans, will you pay a little bit more in order to help the economy, to help the environment? The answer will be yes. And they will. And then they'll complain because they don't have the programs that they think they're entitled to. Right? See the cycle? And if we're not careful as Christians, we can get caught up in the financial issues that are going on. And we can begin to be too dependent on money. And we can begin to be too aggressive about money. And we can tend to look at our lives in terms of money. Money has a spirit to it. Right? Somebody asked me once, well, if somebody won the lottery and wanted to give you a lot of money, would you take it? Sure, I would. Pray over it, bless it, and turn it loose. We'll use it. Because money, in and of itself, is not wrong. Okay? Money is not the problem. What's the problem? The love of. Okay? Yes. Well, what's happened is, in this area here, is that out here, Jim, I'll just say turned. Money has gotten to be an issue. Money drives a lot of this stuff, folks. And so you and I have to understand, that because of people's greed, why is our economy and the mess it's in? Why did the banks fail? Why does the market collapse? Greed. Greed and power. Two issues. That's why it happened. Yes? Right. 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 I agree with you completely. But let me say this again. The hope for America is not that we turn our government around. The hope for America is that Christians live the life and do what's right. Again, don't put your energies in places that Satan can use to distract you from what really matters. Live lives in this evil and corrupt world with wisdom. Right. When things are hard. You see, when we got a lot of money, we don't need God as much. And so money becomes a tool, and we see that. In end times, let me just ask you a simple question. How big of a part do you think all of these things play about end times and the rising of the Antichrist? Huge. Huge. He takes all of this. He controls the economy. He now sets himself up as the world leader. And our nation, our world is ripe for a world leader. We want leadership someplace. You know, he controls these types of things, the equality things, and does all of that. And so you have an economy now that looks to be out of control, and yet God's still in control of it. And so, you know, heard from someone not too long ago, been a month or so maybe, said they're having problems. The problems financially they were having was because they were tithing. Okay? Christian. Okay? Why? Because we judge our position in life and the things that we're dealing with according to how easy it is for us and how much it agrees with what we believe. Now you see, what's going to happen... I don't know that I got time. I got a couple more to go on. I'm going to stay away from that one. So what we have to understand is that what's going to happen here, the economy begins to be a driving force to get people to follow the trail of money. I don't know if you saw the graph this week, but they had a pie chart of now who owns GM. You know who the principal shareholder and owner of GM, over 50, I think it's close to 60%? Government. Government. So, and again, let me just say it. If you're blaming one person, you don't understand. This isn't one person's doing. Don't think that for a moment. This is a party of people. Yes? Sure. No, it didn't happen overnight. The moment we started using Social Security years ago, I mean, you go back easy, the government will provide you all these services. So what happens? We begin to be dependent on the government. We begin to then expect the government. So if we expect the government to provide our services, then that person that we elected to that office, now we expect them to do what? What we want them to do to provide for our services, right? And if they don't provide what we think they should, we won't reelect them. And then we get mad at them because they're doing what we want them to do to give for us, but make sure it's for us, but not for all of them. So if you want to blame everybody in Washington, everybody has a vote. I'll go. I want to stay here on money, okay? I know we can get here politics and money. What a great mix, isn't it? So that what happens is now money begins to be an issue. And what you and I have to understand as Christians is that money doesn't control my life. That money is a tool. Money is a demonstration of my faith. How much I give to God and what I give for demonstrates my faith in God. Well, it's my money. Oh, there's a big problem right there too, because then you're no different than the rest of the world. You see how subtle all this is? You see how easy it is just to very simply go from here to here? And so what the Bible tells us is that in the last days, people will believe whatever they want. And what we have, and I'm going to add some more to this list, is a group of people, us involved, who smorgasborded. I like this issue, and I like this issue, and I can go and see and do whatever I want to do. And yeah, I don't like this, and I don't agree with that. And what happens? We water down our commitment, don't we? We create our own religion, and now it's what I believe and what I think. It's no longer what God says. Subtle? Because here's what happens. You talk to most people in the United States today, 80, 90% of them will say they believe in God. How can that be? Okay? Because what we do is, we still want God in the picture, but we want to set the rules. And so what we do is create our own little religion. Well, this is what I believe. I really believe this. I believe God's in the environment. And I believe, and you can find Christian books defending all of these things. You can see them. And so what we have to do as Christians is come to that place where we recognize, you know what? I'm in this world here. I've got to live in it. It's not going to go away. So I need to be wise to understand what the influencing factors are that are coming against me that I have to battle. And I need to use wisdom in seeing them for what they are, what they do, and not allow them to control me. I don't react to these things. Well, doesn't that just make you mad when they see this or do that? Yeah, I don't care for it, but you know what? They're acting like the world. I hope we're just acting like Christians. I hope. But if we're going to act like Christians, there should be a much bigger gap between people. And the people who are serving God should stand out, and I'm almost afraid to say it, we should be peculiar people. And the rest of the world should look at us like, you know what, they don't have a clue. They don't understand what's important. They just don't get it. And we have to say, thank you. Maybe, hopefully, they would look and say, you know what, maybe there's something to this. Because as I'm going to talk about this morning, it's great in the midst of all this to still have peace. Right? Father, thank you for what you give to us and what you provide for us. Help us to live as wise Christians. In thy name, amen.
If you would like to hear more from Pastor Goss or the Ministry of Faith Assembly, please go to our website, faith.ag, or email Pastor Goss at phil@faithnfm.com. Pastor Goss Sunday School Class is a production of Faith Assembly Media Tech, North Fort Myers, Florida. Thanks for listening.